T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
It is 5:02 here on this Monday afternoon. I'm Neil McCready filling in for Gary Parish. Gary joined us earlier in hour number one. He'll be back with you in studio tomorrow, back from Minneapolis, site of tonight's national championship game. It's Virginia and Texas Tech. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto a little later in the hour, but right now it's time to talk to our pal Jeff Calkins. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you scared of snakes?
Oh, I hate snakes so much.
I'm absolutely terrified of snakes, and there's I'm involved in a group text right now where people are making fun of me because every time if I see a snake, there are two types of snakes. There are rattle cobras and they're dead snakes. And I just am of the opinion that if you see the snake, you kill the snake, and then that's the or you have someone kill the snake, or just
that's what she said.
Light the entire place on fire and be done with it.
Right.
And then I get people that the snake people and look, good for snake people if you're a snake person, but the snake people that come back with they get very serious. I'm obviously not advocating burning down an entire neighborhood. I'm just simply saying I don't want to take the risk of, oh, no, that's a good snake, only to find out later that it wasn't a good snake. And the snake defenders drive me crazy.
Well, I actually intellectually sort of understand the snake defenders. It's just
yes.
a snake. It's not. It's just a snake. It's probably the snake is whatever. It's a milk snake or whatever. It's not a poisonous snake. And snakes are good, and they eat rodents, and I get all that. And I don't know that I've ever killed a snake in my life. I prefer to live places where I don't see snakes, period. And I guess, I mean, I'm petrified of snakes. I remember mowing the lawn and I'd see a snake and I'd just, you just freak. I would freak. I'd sprint, you know, you'd leave
yes.
the lawnmower running and just, you know, so I'm instinctively terrified of them. Another person, by the way, who hates snakes and sharks both is Mike Norvell. He is a self-confessed total coward when it comes to snakes and sharks. But like the idea that you would just casually say, "Oh, there's a snake. I'm going to go kill it." I don't even want to. I'm not normally presented that option. I don't have snakes around all the time where I go places. I like the South very much. I've adjusted to the South. It's home. I've raised 3 Southern boys. But one of the things that's most that I don't like about the South is there are snakes out there that will kill you. If you're in lakes and in rivers here, you could go swimming and run into a snake that was poisonous. Whereas up north, if you're swimming in a lake, you're not going to run into a snake that is poisonous. Typically, we don't have them. We do have rattlesnakes up that more out west, but up north some rattlesnakes. But like all those water moccasin things, like no, you don't. When you go swimming up north in a lake or you don't have to worry about snakes. Snakes are no. I'm anti-snake, but I do understand the snake people, and I think they are probably the more rational people.
They are. They're absolutely.
Yeah.
They're absolutely more rational, and I don't go actively seeking to kill a snake either.
When did you last? How many snakes have you killed in your life? Where do these snakes appear?
I've killed 4 or 5. I've killed 2 in my house.
Oh,
what?
Get out of here!
2 in my house. Once I was covering an Ole Miss football practice, and the girls were little, and they called frantically, "Daddy, there's a snake in the house! There's a snake in the house!" And so I had to defend my children. And with my blood pressure up probably around, 700 over 400, I drove back here, and sure enough, there was a snake in the hiding in the closet, the coat closet.
Whoa.
Where like the vacuum cleaners and stuff
were. Okay, do we know? Is it a did we do an autopsy? You executed it?
I did execute it. I think after the execution, I realized that it was an innocent snake. But but it was one of those things where at the in the moment, I have killed a rattlesnake. I did do that.
Where was that?
That was down in Spanish Fort, Alabama.
Yeah, no, the answer is to move north, really.
Yeah.
you know, where was it? Where in Spanish Fort, Alabama was it?
It was in our backyard.
In your backyard?
Yeah. And the girls were little, and it was not fun. That was not fun. I visited with one of my good friends afterwards. I can't remember whether it was Jim Beam or Jack Daniels, but one of the others. he stopped by and visited for quite a while, and I remember sleeping that night. Just to hell with it. I got up,
Brad,
and I said, "I'm not sleeping."
You ever killed a snake, Brad? Brad, you ever killed a snake?
Oh yeah, I did in Arlington. When my wife and I used to live in Arlington before we got into Germantown.
Where was it?
It was in our backyard, right on the patio, like chilling. Same as Neil, I was having a cocktail, and this was only just a grass snake, though. You know, it was your normal run-of-the-mill rooting around snake. It wasn't a rattler or anything crazy.
Why did you kill it then?
I don't like snakes.
It sounds like a friendly snake.
Listen, I am not an animal rights person, so we've made that clear on this show. So I'm not here to defend the animal. I'm here to kill the animal, except for my dog. That's it. My dad had cows. I'm a farmer.
You probably liked the story I told about the pig today. Did you hear the story about the pig today?
I'm sorry.
Guy in California. Guy in California, Neil. Listen to this sad story. Guy in California. This is real, true story in the news today. It was a slightly rural part of California, and they... the police were called because there was a 400-pound pig just walking around. And so that often happens. It's a place where people have acreage and a few animals or whatever. So they went and they got the pig, and they went to a neighbor and they said, "Hey, we're going to put this pig in your pen right now while we go find the owner. Is that okay?" And the person said, "Sure." They came back within 2 hours to find the pig being butchered on the driveway of the place where they had stored the pig.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry for applauding.
Now, in fairness, it wasn't the person who had said, "Sure, you can leave the pig here." No. It was someone else who lived in that house who just said, "Oh, a pig. I think I'll kill it."
Yeah.
Now, why should I care about, given how much barbecue you eat, why am I thinking, why do I care about the pig?
Thank you for giving clarity to your own story.
Just go over the tops and see how many pigs have given up their lives today. Right? Plenty. Princess wasn't meant to die. That's really the difference. Princess was not supposed to die. It was a mistake.
Right. Well, my father, to get my mom's wedding ring, sold like pigs. That's how he got her wedding ring, to pay for it. And guess what happened to those pigs?
He did what?
He sold it like a litter of pigs, like from their farm, like his farm when he was, you know,
right,
he's like.
And they were all killed.
He needed cash. Yeah. So he went to the market or whatever the hell. I mean, this is how it works.
Have they named the pig that was killed?
This little piggy goes
home. Little piggy goes roast
meat. Woman gets a diamond ring.
Okay. This little piggy had none.
The pig that was murdered in California, was it someone's pet?
Yeah, no, someone's pet. They occasionally bottle fed it. They had raised it from a bottle fed little pig, and I mean, listen, there's bigger tragedies in the world than poor Princess the pig.
Well, it happens to cows too. They actually die sometimes. They also get butchered.
Oh, there's so many animals die.
Yeah, they die in the honor of food.
In the grocery store, you know what you'll see? There dead animals everywhere you go.
All over. Yes.
All over, left, right, everywhere you go. Dead animals hither and yon. You can drive through and get a piece of dead animal at a lot of places around town today. Right here, wait in line, and over at Chick-fil-A. They back out onto the main drag there on Poplar, and people waiting in double lines to get pieces of dead animals.
And I guarantee if they actually had real chickens, like, running around the Chick-fil-A, they'd be like, "Don't run over the chickens!
Don't murder the chickens!
Don't kill the chickens!"
And we like to have a disconnect. We like to have an emotional disconnect between our food. And when you stop and think about it, though, it's the fact that you can walk into a grocery store and get a fully cooked chicken for $4.95 or whatever, right? You're like sitting there, they're under the fully cooked chicken, suggests that's kind of crazy, right? How that chicken had to be born, raised, fed, etc. It had to be slaughtered. It had to be transported. It had to be cooked, prepared, etc. All for less than $5. That chicken could not have been had a good life. Don't you think that's true? And I'm not even going to answer. It's just true. If we're saying that chicken is $5 for a fully prepared chicken in a plastic little thing there, that's for everything that went into that chicken.
Never
it's
really
amazing.
Thought about it
no
that
wonder,
way.
No wonder it doesn't lead a. It can't frolic around on the outside, you know, a lolling in the sun before it dies to be consumed by humans.
Yeah, I will say if you're driving through like Amarillo, Texas, and some of those places where they have those feedlots, those are very inhumane. But hey, those are also not grass-fed Illinois cows like I grew up with.
Right. Right. No, yes. Of course not.
Of course not.
No, those are.
Until you've seen a grass
those,
fed,
those cows Illinois down there cow. Are piss poor. Like, you know, I mean to make light of it, but no, like there is a difference.
All right, Jeff, the national championship game's tonight. I know that neither one of our alma maters are in it. It's just a matter of time before the Louisiana Monroe Harvard national championship game.
Yep.
But until then, on a night like tonight, do you stay up to watch one shining moment? Are you like me? Are you so cynical that, nah, I'm good. I'll never watch that again.
Well, I mean, you don't have to stay up late to watch one. It's shortly after the game is over, right? I mean,
but the game doesn't start until 8:30 tonight. I mean, the game's.
I will watch the game. I will watch the game from beginning until end. Yes. I mean, unless someone gets ahead by 10 points, which in this game could be a insurmountable lead, right? at which point, maybe I'll change the channel. But if you're asking, will I watch tonight? Yes, and is it to the extent that I wouldn't? It isn't because cynical about the matchup, cynical about college sports, cynical about what? I mean, it is not the most glamorous matchup. It is, in fact, I would argue, of any sport that I can think of in their championship recently ever, is there one that promises that has less flash to it? I can't think of one. I mean, the Super Bowls, I suppose, there's been some that have been not glamorous, but they don't matter because they're Super Bowls, right? But, I mean, it's a dreadfully dreadful matchup in terms of just the pace of basketball. Virginia was played slow during the regular season. They have played at a slower pace during the postseason. These are two great coaches who coach a certain way. And as we talked about this a little bit this morning, some say, is it because there's no one-and-done stars? Is that why there's less pop to this game? And I think that has nothing to do with it. I think it's simply you don't have Villanova that plays up-tempo. You don't even have the contrast of styles to have an Auburn playing a Virginia because Auburn plays up-tempo. You have two teams that play the way these teams play. But that doesn't mean it couldn't come down to a last-second shot, and it doesn't mean certainly that I won't watch it now that this is the last game of our basketball year. I will watch, and I guess I'll hope Virginia wins.
You know what's funny, and I just thought about it just then. One of the things that will be interesting in this game is how it is officiated, because if it's not officiated really tightly, this thing turns into just a street fight because both teams are so physical on the defensive end with everything, trying to prevent handoffs, passes. Everything is just so physical. Everything is so defensive-focused that if the officials call it loosely, points really turn into a premium at that point.
Well, it'll be hard to know because and then if they call it tight, then you're just going to have a foul fest, right? I mean, and so, yes. Absolutely. And officiating has been under the spotlight for this entire tournament, it feels like. So, yes, that will be interesting to see how it's officiated. And there is. I mean, obviously the Auburn-Virginia game, did we ever get an explanation? The officials, I think, didn't have to give an explanation about not calling the double dribble because you don't give explanations to non-calls just to call. So we got an explanation for the foul, why it was called, but we didn't get an explanation for why the double dribble wasn't called. I think that's the way it works. And I just think they missed it in the same way that I was seeing on the couch. I missed it. I just thought the ball had been knocked loose, and what often happens when the ball is knocked loose, you go pick it up and you start again. That's sort of what I happened until they slowed it down and showed it again. But that was just missing it. That wasn't anything philosophical or anything like that. It was just missing it. And
I think they missed it. I think they missed it, Jeff, because they were anticipating a foul. They were. And that's human. I get it. They knew Auburn had another foul to give, and Auburn was going to give that foul. And I think they were looking for that foul. And when the ball went off the foot, I don't think they saw it. I think they were. I don't think they saw that happen. I really don't.
Right. Well, and of course, the other thing, of course, at that point, Auburn, which had been instructed to foul because they had another foul to give, at that point, they should not have fouled. Once the play unraveled the way that it unraveled, and he was at this point throwing up a prayer, the foul saved Virginia at that point because yes. There was no possible way that he was going to, as we saw, the ball didn't go in. So it's one of those games which has to frustrate you if you're Auburn, both because, yes, you can forever say they missed the double dribble. If they'd got the double dribble, we would be in the championship game. But also because you had so many chances. Just at the end, there are so many different ways it could have gone differently. You could have not fouled on the three-pointer. And you could have, I think the way you just look at it is if you hadn't fouled right after the missed double dribble, the game would have been over. But you know. That's life. That's the way these things go.
A lot of buzz at this hour that Rick Barnes leaning towards UCLA, that this is not just a contract play. This is him very seriously considering that job. You're Rick Barnes. What do you do?
I've stayed in the same city for 23 years, right? So I came here in 96, and I'm happy. I decided I was happy, and so I stayed here. And despite various opportunities at various points to leave, I believe in if you're happy and you've got something, whatever, you don't necessarily go for more glamour and roll the dice for greater happiness. That's sort of my philosophy. So I would stay at Tennessee. Now, I do... And I'm surprised that at 64, having built what he built, took him a couple of years to get it going at Tennessee. He's got a good recruiting class coming in next year. I don't know whether it sounds like Jordan Bone might. I mean, I know he's already declared, and I don't know about Grant Williams. It doesn't make any sense for him not to look at the draft. But I can imagine Grant Williams coming back. If Grant Williams comes back, and you got a McDonald's All-American coming in, and that. Like, he's got it going pretty good at Tennessee. Having said that, let's be honest, Tennessee basketball is not UCLA basketball. It's just not. And UCLA basketball is diminished, just like, for example, Tennessee football is diminished. But Tennessee football still has a real allure to it at some level, right? And I think UCLA basketball, you're in a down league. You're in a big city. Well, you should be able to recruit whoever the heck you want. I think it's an easier job. And it is true, weirdly enough, that I think it used to be when Gene Bartow went to coach at UCLA, right after the Wooden era, I think it was a pressure cooker. Now, if you don't win at UCLA, they're worried about the Lakers anyway, right? I mean, I actually think there's probably as much or more attention on you at Tennessee as there is at UCLA. And so I actually think your chances, if he weren't already at Tennessee and didn't have it already going on, this wouldn't be close. If you're offered Tennessee and UCLA, you take UCLA. If you're just a coach out there, whatever, you just coached Buffalo to the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden Tennessee offers you their job and UCLA offers you the job for the same money, you take the UCLA job. Everybody takes. I don't think it's particularly close. SEC is really tough right now. Hard in Tennessee to recruit. Although he's done it now successfully, but it's still hard. You're not going to recruit Memphis with Penny here, and so whereas UCLA, it's an easier job. It's an easier job and an easier conference with easier to recruit to, and so the reason you would do pick Tennessee is because you are staying there and you're comfortable and you've already built it and you've got it going and you don't want to start doing that again. And so I would have thought with the Rick Barnes being 64 that that's the course he would have taken. But don't you think in the abstract, if you were not already at Tennessee and attached to Tennessee and you were offered both jobs, it's pretty simple. You go to UCLA?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I mean this as no disrespect to the people who've, like, Gary brought up the money and the income tax, and Chris Dortch brought up the money and the income tax. It's one thing if you're making a couple $100,000 a year in Knoxville and you get offered a job for $220 in L.A., well, yeah, you got to factor in the fact that $220 is not going to go nearly as far as $200 is in Knoxville. But when they offer $5-6 million and all sorts of perks, it's a kind of some of that kind of gets thrown out the window. I mean, yes, $5 million in Tennessee is more than $5 million in Los Angeles, but you're going to make it on $5 million.
I don't think at that age and stage, Rick Barnes has made plenty of money, and he's going to make plenty of money. I can't imagine that he's in the penny counting stage of his career, right? I just can't imagine that. That
I wouldn't to me, think.
To me, whatever the percent, whatever. Let's say it's 15%. I mean, the truth of the matter is you're going to buy a more expensive house in L.A., right? There's no question. But you know what else you're going to do then? You're going to sell a more expensive house in L.A. Once you leave to wherever you go. So, I mean, I don't know. I think I can't believe that would not be something I think I would be thinking about at that stage. I wouldn't be counting pennies. I actually don't advise people to count pennies when they're looking at their jobs anyway, generally speaking. As long as they're in the same ballpark, take the job that you think is going to make you happier for whatever reason. Don't say, oh, well, this one's 6% more money, and so I'm going to take this one even though it's not going to make me as happy. I just had always thought, actually, that Rick Barnes was a pretty good fit at Tennessee, and in terms of personality, that he was a good fit in Tennessee, and I would think he would be comfortable at Tennessee, beloved at Tennessee. Of course, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know if there's any friction we don't know about, or maybe it's just like it is. UCLA used to be one of the premier jobs in America, and I think it can still be a pretty good job. And I don't think you would argue. I mean, let's talk about the SEC. Where is Tennessee in the SEC just in the abstract in terms of jobs?
Well, I mean, obviously Kentucky's the best job, and then after that you start getting into
Doesn't matter. Florida's a better job than Tennessee, very clearly, right?
I think Florida's a better job. I think Texas A&M is potentially a better job just because of the money.
Right, there's major cities in Texas where you can recruit, and there's not.
Yes.
You can recruit in Atlanta, I guess. You can recruit. You can't really recruit in Memphis. You can, but good luck.
Well, see, I think, and I said this on your show this morning. I think that's part of this. This job that he took is, yeah, has he built the program? He's absolutely built the program. He's done a great job. They were a fun team with Schofield and Williams and Bone and all those guys, and he's proven he can recruit good players there, and he's always proven that he can develop players and that he's a very good X and O coach. Nobody's questioning those things. But the Tennessee job today is not the job that it was 4 years ago. He's got Phil Fulmer as his AD, which, in my opinion, is a net negative. He's got Penny Hardaway in Memphis, which is a massive negative, as proven by the class that Penny Hardaway is brought into for Memphis for next season. Would Tennessee have gotten involved with some of those kinds of players? I don't know. It would have been a lot easier to recruit them if Tubby Smith at Memphis. And then you throw in what's happening around the league. Look today at Arkansas. They hire Eric Musselman and give him a ton of money. Alabama made a really good hire, a bright young coach that everybody likes. No one knows what's going to happen at LSU, but the Ole Miss has a good coach. Mississippi State has a good coach.
I mean, don't you – LSU traditionally, like, you can – there's a lot of talent there.
Sure.
So LSU is a better job. You're right, Texas A&M. So I actually think – I just think it's the easier conference.
It's a middle-of-the-pack job. I think Missouri's a better job. It's a middle-of-the-pack
right.
SEC job, and he's done a great job with it. And Bruce Pearl did a great job with it. You can win at Tennessee, but it's hard. And he's 64, right. And he might have grown up at a time, and he did grow up at a time when UCLA was an elite power prestige job. And in his mind, and frankly, that's the only mind that really matters, in his mind, UCLA might still be one of those top five national jobs that you just don't turn down.
So if he goes, let's say he turns it down and he goes back to Tennessee, do they bear him a grudge? Is there any sort of bitterness over this? I think that goes away very quickly.
John Calipari
used to do this all the time. As soon as you say, listen, I thought about it, and I realized this is one of the premier jobs, John Wooden job, but Tennessee is where I want to be. You have that press conference. And now, if you lose five straight or four straight next year, then people probably remember it and start resenting you for it again. But Memphians didn't mind John Calipari flirting with North Carolina State until he actually then left for Kentucky. I mean, they minded it, but he always came back. The only time they really got mad at him was when he really left for good.
Yeah, no, I think they get over it quickly. If he stays, I think they're over it virtually instantaneously. View it as he turned down what for him probably was a very prestigious job to stay in Knoxville, to stay at the program that he had rebuilt and all of that stuff. No, I don't think there's a grudge there at all. If anything, I think it endears him even more to them.
Right. Yeah. It is amazing, though. I mean, it's very clearly real, or we would have heard it dismissed by this point, you would think.
Yeah, it's obviously real that he is
right.
He's torn with it. Well, Jeff, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Neil. Bye.
That's Jeff Calkins. Fascinating thing. I mean, there's this temptation, Brad, for everyone to just dismiss this as a contract play. And I did it yesterday, I think we're all wrong. I think, based on kind of what I'm hearing, he's leaning towards taking it.
Yeah, and the longer you go, the more likely I think you may be taking it. You know, I thought a lot about this story today because this is sort of the story of the day because we're waiting for the games tonight, and this is the big story in Tennessee and certainly in the SEC with Rick Barnes and his success this year. So it's a natural story, but he is 64, right? Is that?
I mean, yeah.
64 years old. So this is his last job. It totally makes sense to go if it's your last job because, look, you did your time at Tennessee. You did your successful time at Texas, and you've already been fired once. So why get fired again? Why not go give it a run? By the time this thing is over, let's call it 5 years, whatever, you're closing in on 70. I think it totally makes sense. Whether in at UCLA, and I'm not saying this because all my Tennessee fans are like, what are you saying? Why are you saying this, Brad? But it does make perfect sense if from a lifestyle perspective to go to Los Angeles, to UCLA to try to resurrect that thing. And if you do well, man, like you're a rock star. If you do well at UCLA, you're a rock star. If you do well at Tennessee, like they just did, you're Rick Barnes at Tennessee. And when's football start?
Yeah, it's. I'm a big perception reality person.
Yeah, me too.
If your perception of a job is that it's an elite job, mm-hmm. then it's an elite job.
Right, I agree with that.
Even if you get there and you find out a month or two later that this is not an elite job.
Yeah, and Jeff pointed this out. The recruiting at Tennessee is rough. I think. Like, I think the fact that he got Admiral Schofield out of Chicago, it was good. Of course, he didn't get that done. That was prior administrations before Rick. And he's recruited pretty well there. But now you can't recruit Memphis, essentially, as Jeff sort of alluded to there. And that's really one of your – because they used to get some players out of Memphis, whether it's Jarnell Stokes, Harris in the past. I mean, there are a few, and they've been good players out of Memphis. So that's over. And then
yes.
So that's done.
Yes.
As is not only Memphis, but probably the suburban Memphis, Olive Branch, Shelby County, which is Memphis. And then you factor in West Tennessee is kind of Memphis territory, whether it's Dyersburg, where they've gotten some of the players. I think Jordan Bone might be from Northwest Tennessee or someplace. But you get my point. I mean, the West part's going to be tough. So the recruiting is going to get harder.
Yeah, I the more I think about it, the more I think you take it.
And I do too.
I
sorry, Tennessee fans.
Yeah, I mean, and look, if he stays, good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he obviously has a lot of job security there. Mm-hmm. They love him. He's done a great, great, great job. The more I've thought about it today, the job that he has even though today it's better because of what he's done, it's not the job that he thought he was taking 4 years ago.
Yeah, and several shows have brought up Steve Forbes on the radio station today because we all, I think, have some relationships with him and because of his time at Tennessee and because of his time at Wichita State. But I don't see any way that Tennessee goes back into that basket. I don't think Fulmer goes to Steve Forbes. So I think you're going to have to look elsewhere. And that is even more intriguing, is who do you get to follow him if he were to go? That's for another show. But that's a tough niche job. Even UCLA is tough. I think that one's tougher.
Yeah, I agree. And this is not the time of year that you want to be doing this either.
No, it's tough. Because a lot of even the mid-major guys have been plucked, whether it's Buffalo or, Otzelberger's gone. So some of the mid-majors are getting plucked over. I think Chris Beard would be awesome. You throw the bank at Chris Beard, see if he'll take the Tennessee job. Try that. That's about as good as I can think.
Yeah, I'm not convinced you don't leave
Chris
Texas
Beard.
Tech after you went to the national title game to go to Tennessee.
Yeah, that's what Gary said. I agree with that.
You go to Kansas, but not Tennessee.
Or Duke.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure. I mean, any of those.
Yeah, you take a blue blood.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, speaking of blue bloods, one of these teams tonight will feel like one at the end of the night. Virginia or Texas Tech. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto of the Commercial Appeal about that. There's also some Memphis basketball in the news with Victor Eno entering the NCAA transfer portal. So we'll talk about a number of those things with him when we return on the Gary Parrish Show here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Neil McCready.
5:39 here on this Monday evening. Our thanks to Jeff Calkins earlier in the hour. Now we're joined by Mark Giannotto of the Commercial Appeal. Mark, how are you? I guess we don't have Mark just yet.
Mark, you there?
I'm here.
There we go.
Oh, there's Mark. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good. I want to get to a little Memphis news. I don't think it's program shaking news, but we'll touch on it in a moment. But first, I know you covered Virginia several years before you came to this market. How big of a night? I know this sounds like a silly question, but how big of a night is this in Charlottesville? Obviously, Lubbock might not be the same if Texas Tech wins tonight. What happens in Charlottesville if the Cavs pull this off?
Oh, I think it's pretty big in Charlottesville, too. It's just because it's been building towards this over the last 5 years or so under Tony Bennett. It's interesting because he had some rough years there at the beginning of his tenure at UVA. It took him a while to really get going, but over the last 5 years, I mean, they've been as good as anyone in the ACC and arguably the country during the regular season. And for them to break through like this and finally win a title, something they didn't do with Ralph Sampson 30, 35 years ago, would be a landmark achievement for their big time sports. What's funny is people don't realize, like, Virginia's non-revenue sports are really good. their revenue sports have sometimes struggled at times, especially football and then basketball during those intermediary years between Ralph Sampson and now Tony Bennett. And then I think it's a big night for Tony too, just because there's been so many doubters and so many people who have said this system just, you know, won't work in the NCAA tournament. And you know, it's just not a, you know, this slow pace and defensive minded style, you know, just won't work. And, you know, he can really put a stamp on sort of, hey, my system does work if he can win tonight.
It's ironic that to win tonight and to finally, you know, validate that style of play and everything, that he has to go through a program that might be even more known for its defense than Virginia is.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Virginia gets this knock as being this defense-only team. Like, they just play at a slow pace. If you look at their efficiency numbers, they have one of the most efficient offenses in the country this year. There's this misconception that they're, you know, not talented and they're just, you know, grinding it out. And, like, you know, look at what they put some guys in the NBA during this run. Joe Harris, Justin Anderson, Malcolm Brogdon, DeAndre Hunter's going to go to the NBA. And so, you know, yes, it's like a grind. It is a grinded out style, but there's it's nuanced. Like, you watch their half court sets, they're as good as any in the country. And then Texas Tech, I just think it's remarkable what Chris Beard has done there. I mean, they lost more than 2/3 of their scoring from last year, and they're doing this year. And it's just, I mean, he's just an incredible coach, it seems. And it would not shock me at all if they beat UVA. I mean, I'd argue they've been playing better than UVA in this tournament, even though they're, you know, UVA might be, you know, came into the tournament probably as the higher regarded team.
No, I think that's true. I think Texas Tech might be playing the absolute best of any team in the tournament. Before we switch to a different topic, what's your pick tonight?
I'm going to pick UVA. It's probably a little sentimental just because I think Tony Bennett is a really classy guy, and I'd like to see him get over the top. And just the fact these last two games, it seems like fate is on their side. So I'm going to pick with my heart. Although my gut tells me, like I said, Texas Tech has been playing better than UVA lately. But I'm going to pick UVA.
You've reported this in the Commercial Appeal earlier today. Victor Eno, he's entering the transfer portal. That's not shocking news, probably. What does that mean for the Memphis program?
Well, it means you have another scholarship to work with. And we know, I mean, Penny, it was a scholarship they need to have, essentially, with all the guys Penny's going after here. During the late signing period. And so it just needed to happen. It's one of those transfers that's good for both sides. Like, Victor, you know, didn't really play this year, and now you're adding James Wiseman, Malcolm Dandridge, and Lance Thomas off of, you know, transfer. So he wasn't going to play. And so this is just it's one of those transfers that's good for both sides. And, you know, what's remarkable to me is now the only player left in this program who played for Tubby Smith is walk-on Evan Olds. So Penny has now completely turned over the roster in less than 13 months, which is pretty incredible. And now you have two scholarships to work with. And, you know, we know maybe, you know, if, you know, he can probably open a third if he needs to. And we know they're going after Trendon Watford, Lester Quinones, R.J. Hampton, and Precious Achiuwa. Like, you need scholarships for those guys, and this opens up another one for them. So it was just something that had to happen. But symbolically, I think it's pretty remarkable that in less than 13 months, he's totally flipped the roster.
Do you put any stock into my theory that while he's flipped the Memphis roster, he's also having an impact on another program right now, with perhaps Rick Barnes looking at UCLA?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like Rick Barnes did a pretty good job recruiting. I mean, it's not like Rick Barnes was having trouble recruiting, and it wasn't like he was getting kids out of Memphis before Penny got here. So I don't think – I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that necessarily. I think Rick Barnes is looking – you know, I think UCLA is a legacy program that, you know, I think it means – you know, like, whereas, like, to me, whereas, like, a 35-year-old coach – maybe doesn't view UCLA the same way a 64-year-old coach does in terms of Rick Barnes saw what that program could be probably when he was coming of age as a coach. And to be able to end his career there, I think is probably a pretty attractive thing. But I, you know, like he was recruiting, he recruited a McDonald's All-American to come to Tennessee next year. So it's not like he was having trouble recruiting. He was, you know, to me, he was, you know, he has UT rolling. I don't think he's accepted the UCLA job yet, but I'm interested to see if he can actually turn around UCLA, because it feels like that's a multiple year turnaround. And, you know, as a 64-year-old coach, you know, we saw at UT, it took him 3 years to do it. And it feels like it'll take 3 years to do it at UCLA. And then you're sitting at 67, 68. And, you know, I'm curious the fit there. That's all, I guess, is how I would put it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing to follow. Listen, really appreciate your time very much. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right. Thanks, Neil.
That's Mark Giannotto. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with Dinner to Go. You're listening to the Gary Parish Show here on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Cooper System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Kroger.
Get to us a Sunday.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host, Neil McCready.
I hustle for my chain like a pit stop. I used to want to grip grain to my wrist lock.
Wrapping things up here on this Monday afternoon, our thanks to Gary Parish, to Chris Dortch, to Jeff Calkins, and Mark Giannotto for joining us today. Now it's time for Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Well, Gary Parish believes Texas Tech cuts the nets down tonight. Chris Dortch thinks Virginia claims the title. Both Gary and Chris believe Rick Barnes spurns UCLA to stay at Tennessee. The rest of us aren't so sure. Everyone hates snakes, and Brad Carson has taken snake hatred and turned it into a firm anti-animal stance. So rest in peace, Princess the Pig.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Well, obviously, it's Virginia and Texas Tech playing for the national title tonight in Minneapolis. That game can be seen on CBS. It tips off at 8:20 p.m.
What should I watch on TV?
If you don't want to watch hoops tonight, or if you're like me and you've kind of gotten hooked on this show, I recommend The Fix on ABC. It airs at 9 p.m. tonight on the Marsha Clark-produced drama. Maya obtains surveillance footage of Jessica the night before her death. And the district attorney, Brad, finds out there's a mole leaking information to Ezra. It's good stuff.
Sounds like Dateline.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
We just put this out. It's what's the best one shining moment of them all? Yahoo Sports went in and broke down all of the different one shining moments based on what happened in the tournament, the sound, all of that. It's a pretty entertaining story.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Gary will be back from Minnesota. He'll be in studio. He'll recap the national title game, catch you up on all the coaching carousel talk, and I'm sure they'll look at the end of the Grizzly season and some of the playoff things that could happen in the Western and Eastern conferences. Keith Easterwood and Jeff Calkins will join as well. Thanks for having me. Enjoy your Monday night.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN, WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. This is 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. It's at the Laurelwood Shopping Center, one of the best clothing stores in the nation. It's where I shop. It's where you should shop. And here to tell you why is Rob Joyner from James Davis.
Gary, we made you two perfect fit suits for your TV appearances, so you know how they fit. We take over 13 measurements to achieve that perfect custom fit suit or sport coat. With hundreds of fabrics to choose from, and the suits start at $6.95. It's unbelievable. If you want to experience the custom fit like Penny Hardaway or your favorite talk show host, we can suit you up. And don't forget, we still have two Paul Bottinelli suits, regularly $5.95. They are two for $7.95. Six colors and patterns to choose from. A classic and trim fit from 36 short to 52 long.
So you heard him. If you need a custom fit suit, same kind I've got, you know where to go. It's James Davis in the Laurel Woods Shopping Center. That's James Davis in the Laurel Woods Shopping Center. On the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
March to the championship. Catch all the action on the hardwood at Horseshoe Tunica. Join us and cheer on your favorite team in Bluesville April 6th and 8th. Games will be shown on three 30-foot screens. All seats are open and complimentary for the exciting last games of the college season. The Book at Horseshoe, a slam dunk for all college tournament action. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Guys, it's time for some straight talk on erectile dysfunction. Half of men over 40 suffer from ED. At Men's Health Plus, we offer multiple solutions to treat ED. Let us help you. Don't wait. Call 901-457-5655. Online, menshealthplus.com.
Today's the day. Diet Center Spring Open House. Get half off on all Diet Center programs.
I tried dieting on my own and got nowhere. Diet Center as my partner made it easy. I'm Jill, and I lost 32 pounds in just 7 weeks.
Save 50% today and lose 20 pounds your first month. Save 50% today and reveal a new you this spring. Call 259-TRIM or dietcentermidsouth.com. Diet Center, one-on-one counseling, real food, and proven results.
Last year in Shelby County, there were over 200 opioid-related fatalities. These deaths can be prevented. The Memphis Area Prevention Coalition is offering free trainings and providing Narcan to individuals and agencies to help identify and reverse opioid-related overdoses. To set up training, call Jill Carney at 901-484-2852. 901-484-2852. If you need help, support, or referral to treatment, call the TN Red Line or visit memphisprevention.org. Project funded under a grant contract with the State of Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow, that's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer, that's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.